B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
To the limit.
One more time.
Took it to the limit. Certainly not. Took it to the limit. My new beach house. Took it to the limit. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show. Took it to the limit. Took it to the limit, and I was in Miami. Took it to the limit. Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. Took it to the limit. Took it to the limit. Steal the show. Took it to the limit. Certainly not.
Oh, the Jacksonville lady. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Attire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub to do that. And big show on the way today, Bankroll Boys. At 7, Esoteric has a new album with the late MF Doom coming out tomorrow. He's coming on at 8:20, and Danny Ainge does his weekly spot at 9.
Have you heard any of the new stuff yet, Esoteric? I've not heard it yet.
Yes, he has sent some to me. And
excellent.
So we will have some of that on the air today.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So we will we'll be able to do that. So apparently this record was supposed to come out last summer, and due to the pandemic and everything, they put it on hold, and then MF Doom died, and they hung on to it for a little bit longer, and now it is ready to come out. So he will be on to talk about that. He takes his daughter to school, so he's not able to come into studio.
So correct me here on the technicalities of MF Doom and what he was able to do near the end. Like, he wasn't able to travel here, right, before he died? Like, wasn't there some sort of reason why he couldn't travel?
I know for a portion of his life he was trapped out of the country.
Yeah,
because of child support payments or something. But then I think, I don't know, I think maybe he was allowed back. I don't know. We have to talk to Esoteric about it, because the last time I had talked to Esoteric about MF Doom, he had said that he'd only met him once.
Yeah, because I was wondering, you know, out of all these albums they've, because what is this, their fourth album together?
The second album together.
God, I thought they had done a couple before.
No,
this.
Czarface isn't MF Doom. Czarface is him and Inspector Deck. So this is MF Doom and Inspector Deck and
for some
Esoteric.
Reason I thought he had more with MF Doom. But either way, I was wondering whether or not they've ever like performed live together. Like
no.
if Esoteric either went there and they did something, but
no, because a lot of times you would go to see MF Doom and it would be someone else pretending to be MF Doom.
Wow.
Which and
that would piss me off.
Yes, it pissed off a lot of people. And he even referenced it in his lyrics. It was
did MF Doom
have
so? So did MF Doom have anything to do with that, or was that just somebody?
No, MF Doom had a lot to do with it. He would he was a bizarre fella. I mean, even the circumstances of his death are weird. I mean, he died, I guess, on Halloween, and then his wife announced it on New Year's Eve. So, like, everything was bizarre with that guy.
Very strange.
Yeah, because one of the great hip-hop albums of all time is Madlib and MF Doom, and Madlib, I don't know if he ever even met MF Doom. like he sent him tracks and then like just was waiting and then randomly one day got this like incredible album back.
Yeah.
And so very strange. So there is a lot to talk to Esoteric about. There's a lot of mysteries and we'll see if he can help us uncover any of them. And then we'll get famous because we'll have the interview that did that. And that will be very nice.
This is. I'm not sure, but is this the last thing that MF Doom recorded?
I have no idea.
Before he died?
No idea. Maybe not.
I wouldn't know, but
he has 85 aliases. He pops up on weird crap all the time. So I have no idea. No idea. This probably would be the last thing as MF Doom. But if he's Victor Vaughn on something, or if he's something else, I mean. Again, the guy's career, part of the fun of it is he was started off as Zen Love X, and it was in a group with his brother, and then they had a offensive album cover, and the label wouldn't put it out, and then his brother that day was hit by a car and killed, so he went and disappeared, and then came back like 10 years later as MF Doom, and then you couldn't see his face anymore.
Weird.
So just very strange. The most talented, in my opinion, lyricist of all time, but it will be interesting.
Well, except for Shifty Shell Shock from Crazy Town. Don't dismiss him.
He's more of a crooner to me because as much as he could rap, he could also go, come my baby, come my lady.
You my butterfly, sugar baby.
Yes, and he could be cousins with Anthony Kiedis and get the rights to Pretty Little Diddy. Every day of the week.
Was he cousins with him? Because I know that that's where they got... It's funny, like, I was a huge Chili Peppers fan, and as we talked about yesterday, a massive Mother's Milk fan. So when people said, oh, yeah, it samples Pretty Little Diddy, I'm like, huh? I don't recognize it. You really have to... Like, I mean, it's like the tiniest part of that song that they sample.
No, it's all Pretty Little Diddy.
That's what I'm saying. They sampled it. No, I'm talking about the song Pretty Little Diddy. Like, there's just, like, that's not the major part of the song. It's
a tiny
little part in the middle. No, it's, like, in the middle of the song. You have to wait a while to get to it.
No, it starts off with Pretty Little Diddy. Oh, yeah, Pretty Little Diddy's the whole... But
Pretty Little Diddy doesn't start off with that lick that they use. Like, you have to listen to, like, about 3 minutes into Pretty Little Diddy to get to that little lick that they sampled.
I don't know. I heard it right away. I knew that was Pretty Little Diddy right away, and I'm no music head.
Yeah,
that whole song is a sample of. Pretty
Little. I was just saying that it was a tiny part of that Chili Peppers song that I didn't even recognize it. Like, that's from the Chili Peppers. It was weird.
Oh well, I don't know. They just took the song and rapped over it.
And there's your Crazy Town minute.
Yeah, there. If you wanted to know what Crazy Town, Esoteric was in Crazy Town, but
he
wasn't handsome enough. He wasn't handsome enough to stay in. He couldn't have that.
I wonder if he still talks to John Cena, because I remember he wrote the raps for John Cena
when he went on
that rap thing.
Yeah, we should bring it up again. We bring it up every time he's on.
We haven't brought it up in years. When he first came on, I was obsessed with that. But, I mean, now that John Cena's obviously, you know, something else, he's got a huge movie career. He's going to be Dom Toretto's brother in the new Fast and the Furious movie.
I know.
You know, listen, that's when you take the next step.
He was good in the Blockers movie, John Cena. I remember when John Cena was in studio and I was like, who's this clown? I have no idea who this guy is. And then it turns out he becomes a big famous guy. That's just like when we had the MMA guy in it. Conor McGregor. I'm like, who's this guy?
Yeah, and Blockers, then, I heard he killed in that.
Yeah,
I never
he's
saw
very
it.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Not a lot of comedies. If you go to sit down to watch a comedy, now that every movie ever made pretty much is available to us, if you look for comedies, not a lot of great comedies made. That is the case. Especially not a lot of R-rated comedies.
I liked Palm Springs. I know you didn't like that one. I thought that over the past year, that was probably one of the better ones that came out as far as like R-rated comedies.
I'm open for any suggestions. If I ever get time ever again in my entire life to do anything, that would be the thing. Because... there's no time. It's just there's something to do at every minute of every day until I go to bed. There's something all the time. My wife yesterday complaining of headaches, so I had to take my son to the orthodontist and then take him to the tutor, then take him from the tutor, then I get him dinner, then the kid's dinner, then go take him to the baseball thing, and then I got to stay at the baseball thing and then take him home from the baseball thing. And then get them ready for bed, and then it's time for bed. Then I wake up, and then I come here. Then I come here and I get out of here and I got to take him out of school and take him to the Red Sox game. And so the debate is, I really don't want to go to this Red Sox game. But if I don't go, it's like burning $200. But if I do go, I'll probably spend $200 on top of that. So do I save the $200 and not go, but waste the $200 from not going to the game? I don't think my son would be overly disappointed if we don't go to the game today. I think that he just wants to get out of school, and he doesn't even really care about that.
You got a nice day, apparently. The weather's supposed to be nice this afternoon. It's almost a perfect day, actually, to go.
Yeah, it's a perfect day to sleep, too, and have time. Because my daughter has a softball game tonight that I would... So I would take my son to this Red Sox. If I didn't have anything to do tonight, I wouldn't care. But I then at 5:45, which I have to get there at 5, mm-hmm. and then those games run long.
You have to organize warm-ups. Yep.
Which is... You have to tell the girls... Like, so if I was to say, like, hey, go line up on the foul line and play catch, I have to say, the foul line is the white line. Okay, no, not both of you don't stand on it. One of you stands on it and the other person goes across from that person. No, not across at an angle, across, directly across from the person. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you're playing three-way catch, no, but the one person's going to have to throw the ball more than the other people. I know it is fair. You're just loosening up. I mean, the amount of explanation required for softball is unlike anything else I've ever experienced.
Quality time with your daughter, Fred.
She appreciates it, which is why I do it. But the amount of I swear to God, if the ball's in front of you in the game, you pick it up. Mm-hmm. That's for you to pick up. Yeah, okay, I know you're playing second base, but you don't have to stand on second base. Yes, but I know you really want to stand on second base, but you don't have to. I know it's driving you crazy. If you put a girl on second base, they eye that second base like that's a magnet. They want to guard that thing.
They don't want anyone to take
they
that
They want to be, which is something I learned to ignore, but I mean, that no matter who you put out there, they're standing right on second base. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stand there. No, it's not a great place to stand. They don't trust you. They're eyeing that bag. That I better be standing on this thing.
The first baseman gets to stand next to first base. The third baseman gets to stand next to third base.
How come
I can't stand next to second base?
First and third doesn't seem to have the same appeal. It's not as attractive as second base. Second base is the... Maybe because first base you're required to catch, so you have to be able to catch the ball. So for safety reasons, you have to put a girl out there who can catch the ball.
Sure.
So generally, they're not as they seem to be able to comprehend after a little bit of explanation not to stand on first base, to play off of first base. But second base is because you're not getting the ball at second base. But, nine out of 10 times when the pitcher doesn't catch the ball coming back from the catcher.
Aha.
You have to instruct them. Yes, if the ball's rolling towards you, could you please pick it up and give it to the pitcher? And then you just end up shouting, "Help her out!" please, for the love of God, can we get this thing going? And then you decide to stand behind the umpire yourself so you can field every single pitch that gets by the catcher so that it doesn't go to the backstop. So that is, you can imagine the patience required for that, which does not go well with not sleeping and not taking a nap.
Sure.
So you're going to watch
it. You got a tough call ahead of you today. Tough call.
Well, I have to make the call before he goes to school. I have to make the call in the next hour.
Just sleep during the game. You're there.
There you go. Problem solved.
All right, Beetle Bailey. I mean,
I've
almost fallen asleep in a Red Sox game, to be honest.
Got to put the feet up with the fly buzzing over your head.
Yeah, if I was going beer and inning, by the seventh inning, I'd probably be able to take a snooze. But unfortunately.
If there's any sporting event you can fall asleep at, I mean, other than, of course, a soccer game.
Yeah. Hey, careful.
Well, you'd have plenty of room. The thing is that if you gave me a nice 90-degree day and some pregame cocktails, like if it was the old days and I could leave the station and go get quote-unquote lunch, mm-hmm. and then head out to the game and then, I could take I'd probably sleep until the next game started. But that's not the case anymore, unfortunately. All right, Rich, what's coming up? I know there was a very sad Donnybrook. Not a Donnybrook, it was a line fight. But the Rangers-Capitals... Not great fights. Not very didn't hit the mark.
Still fun to see. I mean, that was it's still fun to see that in one drop. So
it was disappointing a little. I have to be honest with you. It was disappointing. There was no bloodlust. Like the Colorado Detroit, and here's the old man. But the Colorado Detroit, after they had hurt Draper. I mean, there was a first of all, you had McCarty, who Lord knows what he was on. But I mean, there was bloodlust, straight bloodlust. Like they really wanted to hurt each other. And, you know, and then you got the famous Lemieux turtling and everything else. This lacked real vengeance. It didn't feel like it was more out of obligation than it was out of true hatred.
We'll get to it later in the hour, but that whole day for the Rangers was messed up.
Oh, yeah, well, they have the worst owner in the history of the world. So, yeah.
which made kind of yesterday almost like a perfect end cap to it all. So we'll get to that. On top of that, we've got the Celtics team who absolutely just dismantled somebody, and the Red Sox get beaten by a team that I thought was supposed to suck.
Well, you know, you play enough games,
can't sleep on the Motor City.
They're having a hard time with those Tigers, man.
They're having a hard time in general. They're playing like we thought they would play at the beginning of the season, and like we were saying earlier, Rich, that great start has given them cushion to do this.
And but the bad news is that Rule 5 Wonder Boy, not so great last.
That's correct.
And much the chagrin of all the baseball nerds, they're going to have to go, Rule 5 pick. Can you imagine he was a Rule 5 pick with that stuff? Rule 5 pick. I've heard him call a Rule 5 pick 85 million times. He was just sitting there. Can you imagine? He was just sitting there. I know he's had injuries, but I mean, he's just sitting there.
You know what?
I just did the baseball reporters for you. Every half an hour of every night of the baseball reporters.
It's the baseball hour now, Fred. That's what it's called.
Whatever the hell it's hour. Called.
And by the way, I saw a tweet from two different writers because the Pawtucket Red Sox are not, but sorry, the Worcester Red Sox are now playing. They also have a Rule 5 guy.
Rule 5 guy. Rule 5 guy.
Tweeting about him last night.
Can you imagine you with that stuff? I mean, the Yankees did, and that's the Yankees. They want him. Okay. He's your setup guy. All right. Yep. Congratulations. You got a setup guy. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Kutcher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Someone tweeted, they said, MF Doom's the best lyricist of all time. You got to get out more. Is that a ridiculous statement? Who's better? I mean, if you're just going to sit there, you're just going to sit there and just throw out, you got to get out more. Well, what do you have?
Ski-Lo.
That's right. I mean, give me Ski-Lo. I mean, the guy's, I mean, he's...
He wishes he was a little bit taller. Or a baller.
If you just put out from output, I mean, the guy's got hours and hours and hours of rhymes. But I just like the people do that on Twitter. It's like, you got to get out more. You're wrong. Well, then who's better? Then you tell me. It's not a ridiculous statement. Ask, he's your favorite rapper, as they used to say. All right, Rich, the Celtics played last evening.
Yep, and they clinched their ticket to the playoffs and barely broke a sweat doing it.
Ogilvy entered a Taco Fall, got it on the baseline against Bamba. Celtics bench wants him to go, dribbling between his legs. Taco attacks the paint, turns, gets Bamba up in the air, steps through and scores. And the Celtics bench goes bananas.
Up. Over, under, through.
34-point Boston lead.
Those are directions. Well, a blowout win by the Celtics is a rare thing this season, and yesterday was as blowouty as a blowout can be, as the Seas crushed the Magic 132-96. With Jaylen Brown and Tristan Thompson both out, Kemba Walker helped pick up the slack. He had 32 points, looked really good last night. There was one awesome moment yesterday. So Mo Bamba rejected a Jason Tatum dunk attempt and then, like, started mouthing off to him, drawing a technical, and Jason Tatum Tatum did not like that.
90-68 after the free throw. Celtics by 22. Tatum pounding it against Hampton. Steps through and scores off the glass.
He hooked him.
Tatum is doing whatever he wants to do now. He's got 25 in 28 minutes.
I'm telling you, he hooked him.
Randall blocked from behind by Tatum. Loose ball gobbled up by Nesmith. Nesmith diagonally. Tatum racing up the right side. Mo Wagner back defensively. Tatum lines him up. Tatum just clowning with guys now. Right hand, left hand, through the leg, step to his right, ball away, long two from the corner is good.
Ooh.
Oh, don't be so mean.
every one of his teammates ran over after he shot it and just, like, they were celebrating the championship.
10 straight points for Jason Tatum, 94-68.
There was a segment there that was almost comical. Like, it was immediately after Mo Bamba started talking trash, Tatum answered with back-to-back threes, a quick shot inside, and then a step-back three that basically ended the night for the Magic. It was awesome, and you know what? But that is something I'd like to see more of. And that's that emotion we've been talking about that I want this team to have, where you actually feel, oh, you're going to talk trash on me? How many times have you seen, like, the greats do stuff like that? Like, you're going to insult me? Like, LeBron James is probably the best as anyone. As much as I rip on LeBron James, I mean, I don't think there's anybody who turns butthurt into domination better than LeBron James does. And that was one of those moments where you're like, Let's see a little more of that attitude. Had no problem with that moment.
It's nice to see them actually kick the ass of a team they're supposed to kick the ass of.
You're
all struggling with them.
You're also at the end of the season, where I would venture to guess Orlando has checked out as of a week ago. I mean,
I'm not praising this team for, like, going off. I'm praising Jason Tatum for taking something personally.
It was nice to see your number one, you know, get slapped a little bit, and then him saying, okay, I am indeed better than everyone else on the floor. Because Orlando is just kind of hanging around,
He's like, all right, enough 15, messing around.
15-17, 13-15, 17, and then Tatum scored 10 in a row and the game was over.
Jason, according to The Ringer, Jason Tatum is the 17th best player in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Listen, there's a lot of guys that it's tough to pass a lot of those dudes. But
somehow Donovan Mitchell was lower than that, which was really weird to me.
Was he?
Yes.
Was Donovan Mitchell lower?
I think, and I looked at the list, I was very surprised. I thought
it was based on body type because Jokic was number one.
That's right.
So it was just based on muscularity.
Ahead of LeBron. Yeah. LeBron was number two and Jokic was number one.
Who did I see yesterday, maybe with Perkins, saying that Jokic is the new Tim Duncan? And I thought that was kind of an interesting comparison when you think about it. Depends.
Boring
and dominant.
But does he have a wizard tattoo?
No. Well, I don't know. We'll have to find out if he's
somehow
got that.
Somehow we got to figure that out.
And this guy obviously continues to be solid.
Comes to Kemba. Kemba switches to the right hand, dribbles past Wagner, whips it out to a straightaway three by Pritchard. Got it. His fourth of the night.
We're going to talk about Pritchard.
An ugly pass that got to him with one hand. And he was still able to knock it down. That was nice.
We can talk about him later.
There's a lot to get through because Pritchard is. There was an article in the Athletic.
It's great.
It's a great article. It's not long enough. It's not a great article. It's a great story.
It's actually a great story.
It's a great story. It's not a great article.
But you'd like to know
way more to know.
But it's the first time I've heard any of this stuff about him.
Again,
so it kind of opened up the
I understand that. It's a great story. It's not a great article. The article should the people at the Athletic should have said time out. All right, we have to talk about it a little bit here. We can't just tease it. But the people at the Athletic should have said, time out. You stay where you are, and you bring back. I mean, this is a documentary. I mean, this is Peyton Pritchard's life is unlike any life of any athlete that I've heard of in the United States. I mean, it is insanity. I bet you he's never been laid. I bet you $1 million he's never been laid. I bet you $1 million he's never been laid. And would you agree with me?
Yes.
If you had to say chances are he's been laid or not laid, what would you say?
He's lived like a pro athlete without the benefits for about, 11, 12 years?
No. Living like a pro athlete gives the wrong impression. So what pro athletes, I mean, James Harden spends all his off nights in the strip club.
He's trained like a pro athlete since he was 10.
He's trained like a Russian wrestler for his entire life. So at 10 years old, Pritchard's dad was a tight end in college at Oklahoma or something, and his mom was an athlete too. So at 10, apparently, there's not a lot of backstory, but apparently at 10 years old, Pritchard said, I want to be a professional athlete. Then he said, I like basketball the most. So his dad in eighth grade pulled him out of school and let him take 3 hours of online classes and then play basketball the rest of his day. His dad, 5 days a week, would have this like 2.5 hour basketball training session for all these guys. And Pritchard would just do drills, you know, all day long until his hands bled, and really lived a monk life. He didn't go to sleepovers. He didn't go to parties. He didn't do anything.
Missed his complete childhood. Missed everything.
I want to know how he got through the University of Oregon. Like, I mean, did he graduate from Oregon? I know he played for 4 years, but did he graduate? How does he, like, the article wasn't long enough. Like, there's so many questions I have. Like, what's this guy's emotional maturity? Where is he in terms of his education? How the hell was he able to do any of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, you know, you're right. It was a precursor to something I had not even known anything about.
No.
With Peyton Pritchard. And, but I mean, it's paid off.
And there's
the kid's great. I mean, he's been everything that you've wanted in the pick that they made.
And so
he's been solid all year long.
The parents, like, adopted these kids whose parents had moved away, and they had this, like, house full of, like, athletes training. And what this story basically says is, if you're going to be Pritchard's size with his lack of athleticism,
this is the commitment you got to make.
I mean, if you want to play in the NBA and to be an eighth man, I mean, this is what you're going to have to do.
You see his dribbling routine?
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen Steph Curry, you know, dribble 18 balls around.
I know, but his dribbling routine is like with violence, you know? No wonder his hands were bleeding. He's dribbling the ball as hard as he can
for about
5 or 10 minutes in a row.
But I mean, his life has just been weird. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, it was his decision. No. That's not, you don't make those decisions at 10 or 11. That's ridiculous. You're guided and you didn't fight it a lot. But the idea that some 10-year-old says, like, just take me out of school. Like, of course a 10-year-old says, take me out of school. But I mean, really, just craziness. Pritchard's life is monkish, just crazy. And they don't even really get into how he finished high school. There's a lot that's not there. Read it in The Athletic, but it should be Jay King. We got to talk to Jay King. It should be 4 times as long. I mean, it really should be.
Well, maybe there'll be a follow-up. I'm begging for it. I thought it was great. I want to know more.
Yeah,
I want to know more.
Good on Jay King for discovering the story. Bad on The Athletic for not giving him more time.
Well, with the victory, the Celtics pulled into a tie for sixth in the Eastern Conference with the Heat. With just 6 games remaining, the teams will face each other twice over the next week. On top of that, they have clinched a spot to at least the play-in tournament. And next up, they got the Bulls tomorrow night, and tip-off is at 7:30. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 98.5 Sports Up.
All right, Rich, we will talk about the big hockey game next.
Sure, let's talk about that next. Why not? Violence.
Yes, violence, almost like when most girls have conceded to hook up with me, it just seemed almost out of obligation in the sense of, this is, I guess, why we're here. And that was kind of what the fighting was last night. We'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Nah, don't touch me. I'll just sit here and watch you take off the shoe. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
Rich, a lot of chaos surrounding the
New York Rangers over the last 24 hours.
It was the Tom Wilson revenge game. Just 2 days after the Capitals got away with one of the dirtiest moves the league has seen this year, the Rangers wasted no time in getting their revenge.
Referees for tonight's game as assigned by the National Hockey League, number 29, Ian Walsh, and number 21, TJ Luxmore. Tony Siracolo and Ryan Daisy are your linesmen, and we got a line brawl right off the hop. Oh, my goodness. Dropping him here is Rooney, and down. Haglin off with Blackwell. DiGiuseppe fighting Hathaway. A message being sent, perhaps, by the Rangers. Sticks and gloves all over the ice. The Rangers have decided to try and fight back. Hathaway landing a big hit on DiGiuseppe. He goes.
So they're fighting. It's a line fight.
Here in New York.
And what was interesting is, so I'm watching the highlights on ESPN this morning, and the guy, I really don't like him. The guy with the beard. And
Barry Melrose?
No. Yeah, Barry Melrose. They had someone else on, actually. It wasn't even Barry Melrose.
Because
was,
you said ESPN. I'm like, well, there's only one hockey guy there.
No, it was the guy doing the highlights. And he's like, yeah, you know, you can talk all you want about the fight, but the best story to me was TJ Oshie. His father had died, and he had a hat trick. Yeah. I guarantee you the ratings for this game are whatever, you know, how meager they normally would be, are, you know, at least a third higher than they normally would have been. And it's all the fighting. And stop it with the TJ Oshie story. That was the story that meant the most. Was it now? It wasn't the line brawl, which is the reason that this is the third batch of highlights that you're playing.
I mean, that
it was really the TJ Oshie story. That's why, you know, everyone loved his dad. His dad was coach. That's nice. But this was a line brawl. This is why people were watching this, to see the revenge on Tom Wilson.
It was great. Rangers Capitals combined for 72 penalty minutes in the first 4 minutes of the game. The grand total of penalty minutes was 141. And then Brandon Smith fought Tom Wilson on his first shift, 57 minutes of the game. Got his ass kicked after that. But Smith was given an instigator minor penalty and a 10-minute misconduct. And then the Capitals announced during the second period that Wilson would not return with an upper body injury. I'm sure that's totally what happened.
Well, he got slashed too, and they probably were like, all right, they're going to just keep slashing him.
That was Buchnevich, the guy who he punched in the back of the head while he was down the night before. Buchnevich is a finesse player, and he went around last night trying to incite people, which is a gigantic mistake, because one thing we all learned, for those people who don't watch Washington Capitals hockey or aren't hockey fans, we were talking about why you wouldn't pick fights with the with the Capitals, because they have a good power play. They also have about six or seven guys that can fight.
Yeah, the fighting was not, there was not that bloodlust to it. There was...
Because the Rangers aren't good at it.
Yes.
That's the other part of it. And just to finish the Buchnevich story, he went over and slashed Wilson to try and get him to go, which was a mistake, if Wilson had turned around. Wilson turned around, and then Buchnevich was tapped on the shoulder by a guy by the name of Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
And Chara's like, I think you might want to keep skating. And Buchnevich said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And kept going.
And so they probably felt that Wilson was going to get... It was going to get...
If they kept him out there, it was just going to
Somebody on your
continue.
Team was probably going to get hurt with a cheap shot if you kept Wilson out there for long.
So he got a, quote, upper body injury, which was, you know what, to be quite honest, it was a smart move on their behalf, even though it was Yeller, if you ask me. But the Capitals won. It capped an insane day for the Rangers, where just hours earlier it was announced that the team unexpectedly had fired general manager Jeff Gorton and president John Davidson. Much speculation coming from their distancing from the statement that the team put out regarding Tom Wilson and the NHL's handling of the situation. Reports were that the two said they wanted nothing to do with that statement, which many believe was written by owner and Delta Bluesman James Dolan.
Okay, I can tell you exactly what happened. All right, so Dolan was in the hills of Shanana.
Bowser wasn't there, you know, flexing.
Whatever.
Shambhala.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to misquote him.
You know, the blues?
I don't want him to sue me. And so they put out, so Dolan put out this statement that they should have fired Peros, who's the, hands down, the suspensions in hockey. Oh, Fallon, you awful person.
Good luck, you.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to you, Fallon. You piece of garbage.
Look, the show's over.
Yeah, you piece of crap.
So is my integrity.
Exactly. If you ever want to hear someone just losing whatever shredded respect for me they might have ever had, so Dolan writes this thing, and the league gets pissed off. Now people are going, well, Dolan fired him because the league got pissed off about the statement. No, I don't think so. I think what it made Dolan pay attention to the Rangers for 5 seconds. I think what happened is that Dolan went, wait a second. Everyone's talking about the Rangers. Wait, we're not in the playoffs? This stink. I want to be in the playoffs. And why don't we have anyone who can fight this guy?
And like an idiot. And then decided, he finally paid attention. And then he decided to fire the guys in charge of the team. That's my theory on it, is that, because I don't think that he would even care if the league was pissed at him. I just think that he doesn't pay any attention to the Rangers, and he finally, his focus was on them, and it's probably one of those things, like everyone's had a boss like that who's not really paying attention, or like your mom or something, or your wife, and then you end up doing something, and then they all of a sudden they start paying attention.
Oh, this has been going on?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, I didn't know that. And then, everything's been fine until you started paying attention again.
Well, I was actually kind of shocked that it was James Dolan who wrote that. This is the one time I'll go, all right, not a bad memo, James Dolan. I had no problem with it. It was ballsy that they put it out there, and I know that a lot of people think that that's not the way you do it, and that's not the way things are done. Oh, I thought it was kind of all right. It's worth a few times, except for, of course, his sweet tunes. That I agree with him on something.
I mean, I wonder if you can distract them just by going, just bringing in some background singers.
A couple fat guy hats and tambourines.
What's this, a guitar?
Yeah, he's like starts to write a letter to the league, and you're like, all right, girls, come in.
In the hills of Shambhala.
Is there something just inherently wrong about a guy who takes a limo to his blues concert?
Well, listen.
Just seems a little insincere, maybe, possibly.
He needs room to kick back and just get his fingers warmed up to play some licks.
And then, of course, as you said, TJ Oshie had a hat trick as well, which is the real reason people like me tuned into that game last night.
Neil Everett, he's awful. He does that befuddled. Who's the British actor from Four Weddings and a Funeral? Hugh Grant. Okay. Now his whole thing is like and shut up. Shut up, you jackass. I hate you.
He has a beard now? I know he used to have glasses.
Yeah, he still has got glasses and a beard.
He grew a beard about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
That tells you how I haven't watched him either.
He's got a co-host, like Stan, right? Yeah. Stan and Neil.
That's Stan Verrett, yes.
There's the two guys who's known his name. They don't know their names. They just know that they've been there forever. The two guys have never stood out. Because I get up way earlier now than I used to. So I put on SportsCenter to see highlights of things I've missed, and I've grown to really dislike this guy. I realize that I don't watch ESPN. I can't stand him. And just because you put a Tribe Called Quest line in your highlight, why are you doing that? Stop it. Stop. It's like butter. Stop. Ew. No.
Please welcome JD and the Straight Shot.
Oh. He just bought the Guitar Center percussion section.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain, with the rain in Shambhala.
Like his voice.
Wash away my sorrow, wash away my
shame. Oh yeah, you could tell me this was any band from the 70s, and I'd be like, okay.
I mean, this is a cover.
Oh, it is.
So he went on TV and did a cover, and he's not even good at it.
Well, yeah, it was at 12:31 in the morning.
I mean,
everyone is kind on the road. To Shambhala. Everyone is lucky. Everyone is so kind on the road to Shambhala.
What garbage is this song about? I mean, everyone is happy. Everyone is kind.
I think that's like a Three Dog Night song or something.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You just brought out the Three Dog album and said, pick a song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Dad's money and build myself a band. Get in the Guitar Center and take every piece of percussion that you can find, and we'll throw it into this thing.
Somebody just sent me a photo, and I didn't even notice this while it was happening, but it says, best part of the line brawl, nobody wanted Chara, and it's everybody fighting in charge to stay there with his arms
I know,
like
no, it's, Chara was skating around for a while there. I actually saw this live. Chara was kind of skating around. Anybody? Nope.
Yeah, he probably didn't want to do it either. I mean, he'd kill anyone that he fought.
By the way, remember that playoff series, and they brought it up on the broadcast, that playoff series, the Bruins were playing Detroit, and Riley Smith, his brother, was playing for Detroit, and he skated over to Chara and started talking to him.
Yes.
Chara looked at him and started smiling. Really? You want this? And
there's a photo
it
of
happened,
that.
And it happened again last night, because the same guy plays for the Rangers, skated over to Chara again, and Chara looked at him like, I remember you.
Well, the best
okay.
is the Sidney Crosby one, where he's just looking at him laughing. Remember when Crosby got a set on him that one series?
Well,
he started getting his face. He just started laughing.
He lost the series for Pittsburgh. Is he started spearing Chara in the stomach, and Chara just was laughing at him, and they lost all their composure and ended up losing that game and ended up getting killed in the series.
Yeah,
Crosby lost his mind, and Crosby's big, too. Crosby's dirty, too. Every Capitals fan put out, video of Crosby taking a guy's head and smashing it into the ice, and no one does this to Sir Kid or Sid the Kid. But, Sidney Crosby, big guy. But, when he started picking on Chara in that series, that lost the series for Pittsburgh because that completely, they lost their composure.
Well, one of the worst things that ever happened to Sidney Crosby as far as his reputation was when they started miking him up. And remember how much that dude whines to the refs? More than most players in the – he whines to everybody. Now, I think that his game has matured, and I think he's matured. I don't think he's known as much for that. But, man, in those first several years, that dude just could not stop. He could not shut up to the refs. And I think a lot of players on other teams didn't obviously respect him for that. But that face Chara made, it might be the first time I've seen Chara on the ice just with that smile from ear to ear, like, you're effing kidding me, right?
Yeah.
He just looks right at him and just goes, you're not even real, being real about this.
That's my, that's like him saying, my dad would torture me in this stone barn behind
Zdenek.
My house.
It's Zdenek. Zdenek Chara.
Zdenek, it's time to go in, get stretched out. Yes. Don't mind the whales.
Yep.
The cries of pain from the stone structure.
Just music to me.
How much I need to play hockey, need to hurt legs. Will you pay? You don't have to pay me. Well, we have to pay you something, Chara. League minimum. Just please let me. Do not leave me alone with thoughts.
My father.
That's right. I was stretched out. I've asked him about that 500 times, and he laughs. But behind that laugh, I have a feeling there's
pain. I remember the last time you and I were together over at Bruins headquarters. We asked him about that. There is a certain, there's a certain hesitation every time we bring it up.
Oh, he was stretched out. I mean, his father was a wrestler and would take him, an Olympic wrestler.
That's right.
And would take him into, they trained in a barn.
I believe it was Greco-Roman. That's no joke.
It was the same thing with the Hart family. Like, these maniacs. They take people and they stretch them out. Like, they basically get them in holds and hurt them.
The worst part about it is it was commonplace for the family. So yes. Dana was like, oh, okay. Just like Bret Hart. Oh, yeah, those screams, those are normal. That's a 275-pound man screaming for his life. Yeah. No, that was a normal thing throughout childhood for Zdeno Chara, I would imagine.
Someone, another Bruins fan that's been in a coma for the last 30 years says, you mean the Jacobs family, Fred? Oh, you can't say that. One cup in 48 years of ownership.
There is a salary. Don't. Because
there's
it's
a salary cap. No.
Don't do it. It's 10 minutes if you start. Don't do it.
We will be, seriously, get a new take. Jacobs might be the worst owners in the world, but they spend up to the cap. I don't know what you want them to do. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.